AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota, Brett Johnson with you here on a Tuesday afternoon. And right now we're joined by Patrick Houlihan, who is the editor-in-chief of the Minnesota Reformer. Great resource for the latest in Minnesota news and politics, as we'll be talking about the news in Minnesota politics today. Patrick, thanks so much for joining me on the show today.
Always good to be here.
Absolutely. So as you wrote in the newsletter, I believe, from over the weekend for the Minnesota Reformer, you cited the Star Tribune's outdoor columnist Dennis Anderson recently writing that Governor Tim Walz on May 14th will be the first Minnesota governor in more than half a century to skip the formal celebration known as the Governor's Fishing Opener. And, of course, some Republicans running for governor reacted to this news, including Paul Gazelka saying, Walz had tried to take our freedoms, Walz had tried to take our rights, and now he is taking our traditions. But as you write, that's not really the case. Walz is participating in the fishing opener, just not the official fishing opener, correct?
Yeah, we've got some, there's certain men of a certain age in Minnesota who are quite the drama queens, is my best judgment here. So the issue is that due to the pandemic, it tends to be smaller town cities that host the governor's official fishing opener, and they've struggled in recent years to plan. It takes a year to plan, apparently, to do the fundraising and planning. Because there's just so much uncertainty around the pandemic. Regardless, there is going to be a fishing opener, and the governor is going to participate, at least according to the Department of Natural Resources, which sent out a press release in March saying 500,000 Minnesotans are going to be out on lakes and streams, and the Governor Walz will fish with a guy named Tom Newstrom, who's apparently a famous fishing guide, and that he'll also be joined by Leech Lake Chairman Farron Jackson Sr. and a Leech Lake fishing guide. But for the governor's critics, that's not enough, and he is breaking some sort of holy tradition. It's really, they've spilled a lot of ink on this fishing opener issue in the Star Tribune. I think they had a story. They had this really long column by Anderson. It was essentially just almost a entire page hit piece on Walz. Their editorial page, they had an unsigned editorial that ran on this Sunday. And then they had a Metro columnist who, to her defense, Jennifer Brooks, she kind of defended Walz through this. I was really taken aback by the whole thing. I called Dennis Anderson, the outdoors columnist who kind of was really so outraged about Walz, quote unquote, skipping the fishing opener. And I said, I don't really understand, because I have this press release saying he's going to do this, he's going to be on the boat with the Leech Lake chairman and with this fishing guide. And Dennis told me the formal celebration known as the governor's fishing opener is a community celebration and a big deal. That's different from what the governor is doing. He's going fishing with the Leech Lake tribal chair, essentially by himself. I didn't want to draw too much attention to it, but to me, that was really an inappropriate sniping at the Leech Lake tribal chair. Mm-hmm. And as trivial as all this seems, there's an important point here. And that is that we expect there's a certain type of Minnesotan, which is the people who are sort of at the center of influence and power in Minnesota, expect the governor to do these sort of rituals and traditions. Well, think about these rituals and traditions. I mean, rituals and traditions are great, but did you ever notice how they tend to be really white and male and rural? And the state has changed a lot. I mean, this is the last 20 years. Something close to 1 in 5 Minnesota children is this child of immigrants. So there's this idea that every governor has to pay due devotion to these old rituals, and it creates a kind of barriers. And sure enough, they've forced us all to talk about the fishing opener for the last 2-3 weeks or whatever. You know, a lot of people are talking about the fishing opener, and you know, and it's, I mean, a lot of people don't fish in Minnesota. I mean, more people play video games in Minnesota than fish. And nobody, you know, people play video games are not complaining that the governor is not, you know, participating in some video game ritual. So it's been a funny, you know, I'm not from Minnesota. Maybe that's part of it. It's been an interesting ritual. It's been an interesting experience to kind of watch all this. The fainting couches that we've had to pull out because the governor is going to do his fishing opener a little bit different than we've done in the past.
Yeah, I'm with you. This whole thing seems silly. I mean, as you mentioned, you're not originally from Minnesota. In my case, I never really got into fishing as a kid or as an adult, so I'm not really that big into the fishing opener. It's not that big of a deal to me. So, yeah, the whole idea that we're going to be up in arms over this is just very silly, and it seems like one of those kind of small town traditions, and maybe that plays to the fact that usually the governor's fishing opener is held in rural areas. It just seems like one of those small town traditions where if you're an elected official and you don't participate in that tradition, well, you're going to have all sorts of stuff to pay for that.
Yeah, exactly. You know, we've created these requirements, and who gets to set those requirements? And what type of person? It's a little. It seems trivial, but it's a way to enforce certain kind of cultural and political strictures that I think are not keeping up with the times.
Well, again, Gazelka was the one that ended up sending out the statement criticizing Walls for not taking place in the official governor's fishing opener, and I want to stay on the topic of Paul Gazelka, who of course is seeking the Republican nomination for governor because he picked up an endorsement recently from the Minnesota Police and Peace Officers Association. They announced that on Monday they were going to endorse Gazelka for governor. So in your mind, Patrick, how would this impact the race, especially for the GOP primary? I imagine this has to be kind of a feather in the cap for Paul Gazelka to get that endorsement.
Absolutely. I think he's been courting them for at least a couple years. And, you know, I think he wants to be a law and order candidate. And I think that and so that really burnishes his image, including with probably delegates. I don't know that the MPPOA has much of a political operation at the conventions and so forth, but it's certainly a good endorsement for him. And I would say also it's bad for Rich Stanek, the former Hennepin County sheriff, lawmaker who you would think as a former sheriff would have had some kind of inside track there. You know, he's running, presumably the sheriff is running as a law and order guy in a time of the last few years we've seen increasing crime, but that's got to be a significant blow to his campaign, which, so far as I can tell, I mean, I'm not really following the Republican race for governor super closely, but from what I can tell, his campaign thus far has kind of failed to launch, and I think Gazelka is working hard and maybe successfully to be the sort of not Scott Jensen in that race. Scott Jensen is kind of seen as the front runner in terms of money and social media buzz and maybe attracting new Republicans to the race, and maybe as the most Trumpy of the candidates. But there was always going to be some kind of alternative to Jensen if you thought Jensen was not going to be electable, and you were sort of a more regular Republican. And it looks like Gazelka is maybe setting himself up to be the alternative.
Well, and you wrote in your article about this that back in 2010, the Minnesota Police and Peace Officers Association endorsed DFLer Mark Dayton for governor, which was a big boon to his campaign for getting the DFL nomination and, of course, ending up winning the race and becoming governor. But Of course, with our times being more partisan now, I imagine really no Democrats were probably even considered, I'm guessing, for that endorsement from the Police and Peace Officers Association here in 2022, correct?
Yeah, I mean, I think that they consider Walz. Walz would be a guy who, when he ran for Congress in 2006, would be a guy who would be happy to be arm in arm with police officers, I think, and he would still like to be, but I think there's just the events of 2020, and ever since have been really so traumatic that kind of thing is it's just not possible anymore. I mean, it's not that long ago, if you remember, Democrats in the 1990s, it was in the early 90s, it was rising crime due to the crack epidemic and a number of other factors. And people like Bill Clinton and Joe Biden, and then, shortly thereafter, Amy Klobuchar, were very pro law enforcement. And the law enforcement endorsement was something to be, certainly something to be desired, something they wanted, and that's just completely changed since roughly 2014, when with the police killing of Michael Brown, and just so much more focus on the rise in incarceration and all of the what we now many of us view as the injustices of the American criminal justice system and how it's really weighted against Black people in particular. So the politics around police endorsements have completely changed, and we're seeing that now. And in these endorsements that the police, the state police group put out yesterday, which was not only Gazelka, but also I think 17 early endorsements for lawmakers, they were all Republican.
And we're speaking with Patrick Houlihan, editor-in-chief of the Minnesota Reformer. Want to switch topics now and revisit something that I know you and I talked about a few weeks ago and possibly even a few months ago, and that has to do with this idea of the Republicans possibly creating this lobbyist club at the state capitol. And just to refresh you on this, a group last year sought an advisory opinion from the Minnesota Campaign Finance and Public Disclosure Board on the legality of private clubs for lobbyists. And back in October of last year, the board said a club would be okay as long as contributions are received before or after the legislative session. Now, the Reformer reported that it was the Senate Republican campaign finance arm that sought the opinion in that case to create that private club. And this led to questions about the private club, and the GOP faced questions on this issue. Jeremy Miller, the Senate Republican leader, eventually went on to say that his caucus had no plans to create the club. Well, now there's some bills at the Minnesota State Legislature being introduced by both Republicans and Democrats that would ban these sorts of clubs, correct?
Right. So this goes back to the pandemic when lobbyists were complaining that they really had very little access to lawmakers, and the sky was falling, and how could we ever do any government business if lobbyists couldn't talk to lawmakers in the hallway? And you know, what's the point of us giving any money to campaigns if we're not going to be able to get a word in with lawmakers? And so somebody in the Republican caucus, I'm sure it was Paul Gazelka at the time, was the majority leader. He has good relationships with a lot of the business lobby. I'm sure they cooked up this plan, and they made the mistake of, I mean, it was a mistake from the get-go, because it was always going to look so, I mean, it's a literal, the only thing missing is like cigar smoke from this, private club where Republican lawmakers were going to meet with business lobbyists and figure out ways to kind of screw over consumers and workers. So they made the mistake of asking the campaign board for an opinion about whether or not it would be legal, and unfortunately for them, their name was on it. Shortly thereafter, Jeremy Miller became the majority leader, and he made it clear that they had no interest in it. Wasn't really necessary as much when the pandemic is over, because there's lobbyists in the building, so everybody's in the same space again, and so they can have their influence in the hallways, and they don't need a private club to do it. But I think we're all thankful that that lawmakers in both parties are now going to make it clear that this kind of arrangement, and I forgot to mention that this private club, of course, you would pay dues. The lobbyists would pay dues to be to be given access to it. It's just like the worst kind of Tammany Hall, early 20th century stuff, or 19th century stuff. And so it looks like we're going to, very strong chance that we'll make this illegal. We'll make sure this is illegal going forward.
And of course, yeah, thanks to the Reformer for reporting on this and bringing up that it was the Republican Senate GOP campaign arm that was seeking that opinion to possibly create that private club. But you're right. I mean, that absolutely fit the description of a cliche of some sort of political club for lobbyists. And as you said, with paying dues, what could possibly go wrong with that? So glad to see that. It looks like this thing will certainly not be going anywhere. Last topic I wanted to talk to you about, Patrick, has to do with President Biden announcing that his administration would temporarily lift a Clean Air Act rule to allow higher ethanol blended gasoline to be sold throughout the summer in an effort to bring down gas prices. The name of this type of gas is E15 gas, which is blended up to 15% ethanol and is usually banned in the United States between June through September to limit air pollution. But of course, high gas prices has changed thinking on this now. Now, I'm curious about the reaction from Minnesota politicians because I imagine a lot of our Minnesota politicians are probably happy with this. I even remember some DFLers being happy with the Trump administration when they also allowed E15 gas to be sold, I think back in 2019. So, talk about what Minnesota politicians are saying about the Biden administration proposing allowing E15 gas to be sold during the summer months.
Right. I mean, the only sacred cow more important than the fishing opener, I think, is farming. And so this is a boon for our corn crop. And Congresswoman Angie Craig and I think Senators Smith and Klobuchar are certainly rallying around this regulatory move that'll help the ethanol industry and therefore corn growers. So I think it has dubious environmental benefits, the ethanol that is, but it's also not clear that it's going to lead to a lot more air pollution this summer. But certainly a nice gift to Midwestern politicians who love their ethanol.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, we unfortunately are just about out of time. We have been speaking with Patrick Houlihan, the editor-in-chief of the Minnesota Reformer. Again, go to minnesotareformer.com for the latest in Minnesota news and politics and the great reporting they do over at minnesotareformer.com. Patrick, thanks so much for the time today. Appreciate it.
Great to be here.
All right, let's take a break and send things back over to Matt McNeil on AM 950.